Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Everybody, let's stand together. And kids and adults, we're going to read God's holy word together. We stand when we read God's word because His word tells us who He is. We stand when we read God's word because His word tells us who we are. All right? Y'all ready for the scripture? Let's all do it together. You got anything? You don't have anything. That's because you have zero notes. Jamar Jordan, will you go up and transfer the 830 notes over to the 1045? Thank you. Yeah. Or you can just open 830 if you want. Okay, here's the scripture. We'll learn it together. The kids already sang it this morning. Give thanks to the Lord. For He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Okay, let's do it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. God, I pray this morning that Your love, Lord, would be in this house. But Lord, not just in this place, but Lord, in our lives, in our hearts, in our families. So come, O good, good Lord. Come, O God of love, and make Your presence known in us, for us, with us, and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So kids, help me one more time, all right? We're going to do our things. What do we call our main ideas? We're going to do our main ideas. Bible points. On day one, our Bible point is God is our creator. Wow, God. On day two, our main idea was God knows everything. Wow, God. On day three, God is our safe place. Wow, God. On day four, God is love. Wow, God. And on day five, God is forever. Wow, God. All right, so the kids were really great learning this all week, and it just made me think about a song that we learned a long time ago at BBS when I was a kid. The name of this song is the football song. Y'all know it? Okay, I'm going to teach it to you. It goes like this. I'll say it to you, and then we'll sing it, all right? The game was played on Sunday in Jesus Christ's backyard. Jesus was the quarterback and Moses was the guard. The angels in the grandstand let out a holy yell when Jesus scored a touchdown to beat those guys from hell. Go with God, stay with God, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, yay, God. Y'all got it? Okay. It goes like this. The game was played on Sunday in Jesus Christ's backyard. Jesus was the quarterback and Moses was the guard. The angels in the grandstand let out a holy yell when Jesus scored a touchdown to beat those guys from hell. Go with God, stay with God. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, yay, God. Just that last part. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, yay, God. Very good. Kids, your parents can learn things too. Okay, Psalm 136, verse 1. One more time. Y'all ready? Say it with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures. This morning, I want to invite all of us to give our thanks to the Lord. I want to invite all of us to say, yay, God. For this morning, we're going to focus on three powerful ways that God's faithful love is at work in every single one of us, no matter what our age, no matter from the youngest to the oldest of us here. So first, we give thanks. First, we say, yay, God, that God's faithful love means that He knows us completely. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 5. You have searched me, Lord, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. before a word is even on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand of blessing upon me. So this is the way we memorize verse first. The kids already sang it. Verse 1, oh Lord, you've examined my heart. You have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. He knows our dreams. I don't know what your dreams were as a kid. When I was a kid, when I was 9 years old, my dream was to be like Walt Garrison. Here's the picture. Now, if you're not older than 60 years old, you have no clue about this guy. But Walt Garrison was the toughest football player there ever was. He played at Oklahoma State. Then he played down at Dallas for the Cowboys. But he was also a real rodeo cowboy. And he wrestled steers. And so he was just tough. And I wanted to be just like him. Now, the problem was, like, I think when I graduated high school, I was 5'6" and 140 pounds. And that really doesn't make it to professional football. But anyway, he was my hero. That was my dream. And you know what? Sometimes our dreams don't always pan out the way we want them to be. Maybe that's your reality this morning. It's you have a lot of dreams, a lot of expectations way up here, but the reality is your life is way here. And in that gap, we know that God knows us. But God doesn't just know our dreams. God knows our hurts. This is a picture of on Friday from a Facebook post. We lived in Ruston, Louisiana. There's a 14-year-old boy there named Lux, and his dad Jacob posted on Facebook, and they need a miracle. Last Monday when we were starting BBS, they were starting summer football practice in the heat in Louisiana, and he had a heat stroke. And ever since then, he's been on life support, and they need a miracle. And I'm just going to tell you, God knows how that family is hurting. God knows how his friends and all the folks that he plays football with, how they're anxious and how they're scared for his very life. And God knows the heart of this dad who said, we need a miracle. But you know what? God knows us too. There's not a single one of us that God doesn't know what's going on in the deepest places of our lives. God knows this. That all of us, right, all of us know the reality of hurt and pain and suffering in our own lives. And sometimes, right, we hurt because of something that someone has done to us. Sometimes we hurt because of something we've done to ourselves. And then sometimes we hurt because we live in this world. We live in a world where we will have trouble. Truth is, all of us have struggles. All of us have problems. Truth is, God's strength is made present in the midst of our weakness. Lord, let's just pray right now for Lux. Lord God, we pray for Lux. Lord Jesus, in the hospital in Little Rock, he needs a miracle that no human ideology or brains or techniques can bring, a miracle that only you can bring. Lord, you created Lux. Now recreate him, God. Help his mind to come alive. Help his organs to begin to work. And Lord, just do something in him where the whole world says, Lord, you love that boy. God, love his family. Love everyone who is close to Lux. And make your presence known to them and for them. In your name, Jesus. Amen. But God doesn't just know, right, our dreams. And he doesn't just know our hurts. He also knows our sins. He knows when we choose to go our way instead of his way. He knows when we let our selfishness and ungodly desires call the shots. He knows when we choose to trust in ourselves rather than trust in him. He knows when we push him away rather than draw ourselves and our families closer to him. You know, it's like we have a choice in life. We're either going to stiff arm God or we're going to welcome God. Our grandson Benjamin is 11 months old, and so he hung out a lot of times with us in BBS. Our blue group sat in that section, and so Benjamin would walk, and when the kids were singing up here, this is the Christian mosh pit right there. But when we were singing, Benjamin would come up, and like, if you want to know what 400 kids will go to, gravitate to, it's a little 11-month-old baby. They were on him. And so I would say, give him space, let him walk, give him a little room, you know. And Benjamin was always fine, right, until somebody got right up in his face. And if Benjamin didn't, right,
understand his surroundings, or if his surroundings began to feel unsafe to him, this is what would happen. He would come and almost stand on my toes, and he would pat my knees, and he would go, when did we stop doing that in our lives? When our surroundings became uncertain, when we didn't understand, when we felt threatened, when did we stop going, Abba, Daddy, help me. Abba, Daddy, hold me. Abba, Daddy, have me. God knows us. He knows everything going on in our lives. And he wants just like, I mean, I didn't go, well, Benjamin, I think you just need to suck it up and work a little hard. No, right? There wasn't even a question. And there's not a question when it comes to you and God either. He knows you. Second, we give thanks that God's faithful love, God's yay, God. We give you yay, God. We give you thanks, God, because your faithful love means that you are here. God, you are here for us. God is here right now. Jesus is right here, right now with us this very morning. Psalm 139, keep going. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be as night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. I mean, do you hear the message in this beautiful song of King David? He's singing that God is with us in our highest highs and our lowest lows. God is with us in the brightest light, and he's also with us in the fullness of darkness. Look again at verse 8. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Sheol is the place of death. Sheol, it's the grave. Sheol is the place of darkness. Some translations, Sheol is H-E double hockey sticks. So even when, maybe especially when I make my bed in Sheol, even when I hunker down and take up residence in a place of darkness and death, even when I make my bed in hell on earth, God is there. All of us, right? All of us experience hard times and low times. And when we do, God is there for us. But this says, even if I make my bed in the pit of hell, in the pit of Sheol, even if I make my bed and stay there in that place of brokenness and darkness, God is there. This morning, I know that in this sanctuary, there are folks who find themselves in a place of Sheol, a place of struggling and dying in a relationship. There are those who find themselves stuck in the Sheol of bitterness and unforgiveness. There are those who are stuck in the Sheol of feelings of profound unworthiness or inadequacy or deep loneliness. Some of us are stuck in the Sheol of not being able to trust others or love ourselves. Biblical theologian Matthew Poole says, making my bed in Sheol, it's like saying if I should or could repose or hide myself in the grave in the lowest parts of the earth, if I could find myself at the furthest distance from heaven, that's where Sheol would be. It reminds me of the lost prodigal in Jesus' story that he told in Luke 15. You know the story, the prodigal son, right? The son comes to Father, give me all my money, give me my share of the inheritance. And then Jesus said he takes all that inheritance and he goes to the far country. He gets as far away from his dad as he can. Can you imagine? And we remember what he does there, right? He P-A-R-T-Y, when you party hardy. And he did. And as long as the money was there, things were kind of okay. But when the money was gone, all the friends were gone. And when the friends were gone, this once well-to-do Jewish boy finds himself all alone feeding pigs in a pig pen. And there in that pig pen, he's so desperate, so hungry, that he's willing to eat the food that the pigs were eating. Y'all, that's Sheol in the pig pen, in the pig poop, eating the pig food. And it was in that pig pen that young prodigal has an aha moment. And he remembers his daddy. and he heads home to a place that he hasn't been to in a long, long time. Sheol. Ever been there? You're there right now? Sheol was when I was a young 10-year-old boy. My dad's alcoholism was raging out of control, and he was just absent. He wasn't there at dinner after work. He wasn't there through the nighttime. He wasn't there when it was time to go to bed. He was just gone. And I just needed someone to love me. Sheol was when I was 17, and everything I chased after in life, it left me empty. You know, sports and girls and success, achievement, all that stuff that I thought was going to fill me up had left me desperately empty, and I just needed a reason to live. Sheol was when I was a 30-year-old husband and father, and our marriage was lost, and our two young kids were going to be the fallout from our failure. And in that place of Sheol, I needed saving like never before. In that place of Sheol, God brought us, Janie and I, new life. He brought new love to each of us for each other. Sheol comes in all shapes and sizes. But Sheol never comes too big or too powerful for Jesus. He that is in you, he that is with you, is greater than he that's in the world. The really great news is that God knows everything about me, everything about you. He knows everything about me, and he doesn't turn and go the other way. In fact, he turns and comes and runs to you and me right where we are. Romans 5:8, for God proves his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. Jesus didn't come to us when we decided to clean our lives up. Jesus didn't come to us because we started acting a little better. Jesus didn't come to us because, you know, we showed up at church one Sunday. Jesus came to us while we were yet sinners. No matter where you are this morning, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what struggle or challenge or just horrific concern you're facing, he is with you. He is here for you. Third, finally this morning, we give thanks. We say, yay, God, that his faithful love means that he has created us fearfully and wonderfully in his image. He has created us with absolute worth and value. Again, Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Now, this is a picture of one of my good friends. His name is Quentin Gibson, and Quentin and I did ministry together down in Louisiana. He was the Wesley Foundation director at Grambling State. I was at Louisiana Tech, and we were brothers of another mother. And he was, you know, Quentin was 6'3", a great big guy, and I was 5'0" and not so big. But we were friends. We did campus ministry together, a lot of different things, but we did camps for senior high kids together. I always remember Quentin was a great preacher. In fact, I always remember a sermon he preached, and he had a toothpick in his mouth the whole time. That was the impressive thing. But Quentin said, God made you, and God don't make no junk, so you're not junk. You are created fearfully, wonderfully, in the very image of the living God. Now, y'all, that's a message. That's a message that we all need to hear. That's a message that's an all-important truth that every child that attended VBS needs to hear. That's a message that's an all-important truth that every child of God hear this morning, no matter what our age. It's a message we all need to hear. If I could read one book to our VBS kids and one book to our kids, Janie and our kids or our grandkids, it would be this book written over 20 years ago by Max Licato. Do you know the book? It's a beautiful, powerful children's story. It's called You Are Special. While written for children, this book profoundly gives us a glimpse of what it means for all of us to be created in the image of God. The story takes place in a village. By the way, I'm just going to do this. How many of you have actually read this book? I see those hands. Now go home and help other people read it. Okay, all right. The story takes place in the village of small wooden people called Wemmicks. Every day the Wemmicks do exactly the same thing over and over again. They walk around the village and they stick stickers on one another. I mean, if a Wemmick is beautiful, painted with smooth wood, or highly talented, they get a gold star. If a Wemmick has chipped paint, trips over their feet, or isn't very smart, they get an ugly gray dot. The main character of the story is Punchinello. And Punchinello is a wooden person covered completely, I mean, layers of gray dots. He tries to jump high like the others, but he falls, earning a gray dot. When he tries to explain why he fell, he says something silly, earning another gray dot. Eventually, he's so covered in gray dots that he doesn't want to even go outside of his house. He believes the lie that he is a bad wooden person, of no value to no one. One day, Punchinello meets a Wemmick named Lucia. And to his amazement, Lucia has no stickers at all. The stars and the dots just won't stick to her. Whenever someone tries to give her a sticker, it falls straight off. And intrigued, Punchinello asks her, "What's your secret?" And she tells him that she goes every day to visit Eli, the woodcarver who created them. Punchinello decides to walk up the hill to Eli's workshop. When he steps inside, the giant woodcarver picks him up, looks at him, and he says, "Punchinello, it's so good to see you." Punchinello looks down and he says, "You know my name? I'm sorry, Eli. I tried to get stars, but all I could get were all these gray dots." And Eli looks at him with deep tenderness and he says, "You don't have to defend yourself to me, Punchinello. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think, and I think you're pretty special." Punchinello laughs. "Me? Special? Well, I can't do anything. My paint is chipped. I got all these gray dots." And Eli leans down and whispers, "Punchinello, you are special because you are mine. I made you. That's why you matter to me." Eli explains to Punchinello that the stickers will only stick to him if they matter to him. The more he trusts his creator's love, the less he will care about the stars of praise or the dots of judgment of this world. And as Punchinello steps out of the shop, he thinks to himself, "Man, I think Eli really means it." And a gray dot falls off his arm and hits the floor. You see, our world, not just Punchinello's, is obsessed with the distribution of stars and dots. We count our social media likes and follows. We compare the size of our bank accounts and houses. We keep score both consciously and unconsciously of our criticisms and affirmations. But our worth, my brothers and sisters, our worth isn't determined by this world around us, but rather by the God within us. You and I have absolute worth and value, absolute significance, because we bear the very imprint of the divine upon our very being. While we were yet in our mother's womb, He valued us. While we were yet in that secret place, being fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, shaped and made with His loving and powerful hands, His eyes, His love, His grace, His value was upon us. The world didn't give you your worth. Don't let the world take it away. Before you ever made an A, before you ever had a date, before you ever ran a race, before you ever hit a home run, before you ever had a friend, before you ever took a step, before you ever even took a breath, you had absolute worth and significance because God created you in His image. Because God so loved you that he gave himself on an old Roman cross. Because you, my brothers and sisters, you belong to him. All week long, we've been saying, right, wow, God. Because we're so amazed at who he is. Wow, God. In this morning, in this sermon, we've been saying, yay, God. Because we are so thankful for how good and loving God is. But y'all, this morning, Jesus is inviting you to say not just wow and not just yay. Jesus is here. Jesus loves you. And this morning, Jesus is inviting you to say yes. Capital Y, yes to him. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I want you to come into my life. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I want you to have me, all of me. I mean, all my gray dots, all my brokenness, all my selfishness, all my sinfulness. I want you to have all of me. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I want you to send your Holy Spirit to live and reign in me from now, from this very moment until forever. Lord, I thank you for every person here, every family here. And as we just have this time of family prayer, help us as children, as adults, as youth, to just say yes to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.